The stock market starts the day back up. I'm David Brancaccio in New York. The Dow Jones Industrial Average, 21 minutes into the trading day, is up 270 points, 1%. The S&P 500 is up 1%. The NASDAQ Composite Index is up 1.3%. The Dow at the moment is down 5.7% since Friday's close. Coronavirus and its effect on commerce and profits remains on the minds of many market participants, with the Dow losing 1,900 points on Monday and Tuesday. Susan Schmidt is head of U.S. equities at Aviva Investors.
So everybody is looking at that move in the Dow, and even institutional investors are looking at that a little bit shell-shocked. It is a big move, but that is very much an emotional response to continuing news around the coronavirus. So look to the long term is my message to all. This is a temporary setback, but it is proving to be something that is scaring the market and that we don't have a lot of insight on.
Well, that's the part, right? That's the we don't know quite how far it goes. And that is a lot of uncertainty. And when you're not certain, you take money out of the market.
That's right. So we're seeing a big move towards risk off. People are getting out of their risky positions. We've seen a big flood out of sectors like tech, which had been such a strong winner for the market over the past year plus. And it's because people are concerned about the supply chain. The coronavirus is taking people out of the workforce and slowing or shutting down economies. And with that, you see ripple effects through to other manufacturing companies who are dependent perhaps on products coming out of China, where we've seen the biggest shutdown thus far. I think the additional news from other countries with more outbreaks is really what's concerning the market. They're seeing that potentially this extends beyond what they were hoping would be a one-quarter blip.
Yeah, and speaking of which, we do have some travel companies that are coming out with profits and losses. And if you're, say, Marriott International or another hotel chain, that could hit the bottom line.
It definitely could. And for all these companies, the near-term impact on the bottom line is what investors are worried about. Remember, though, that this is just temporary. I certainly don't see the coronavirus slowing things down a year from now. And so I think the market confusion is, how long does it persist and how does it impact the near-term bottom line?
Susan Schmidt, Aviva Investors. Thank you.
Thank you.
She spoke to us from Chicago. There's a moment yesterday with a flight out of stocks into bonds pushed the yield on the government's 10-year bond down to 1.31%, the lowest for that yield ever. There's a bounce upward this morning for that. The 10-year yield is up at 1.36% now. The National Labor Relations Board is about to make it harder for workers at certain types of businesses to unionize. It's about rolling back Obama-era policies that held corporations accountable for violations by subcontractors or franchisees. From the Workplace Culture Desk, Marketplace's Megan McCarty-Carino has more.
To understand this rule, here's a hypothetical about McDonald's. 95% of its U.S. locations are franchises.
Let's suppose that a worker's trying to organize at a restaurant and they get fired.
Which Cornell's Alex Colvin says violates a worker's right to organize. The worker could sue the employer, but who the employer is has now changed.
The individual restaurant owner could be responsible, but McDonald's would not be.
Even though McDonald's Corporation influences many working conditions at its restaurants. And it's not just fast food chains, says David Weil at Brandeis University. Business is getting more complicated.
There are a lot of hands in employment. It's not simply one employer and one worker.
From tech companies to hotel chains, businesses are increasingly relying on subcontractors and franchisees. That could leave millions of workers with less power when the rule takes effect in April. I'm Megan McCarty-Carino for Marketplace.
Three-quarters of retailers told BDO Consulting they sell used goods or plan to start within the next 18 months. It's a $24 billion industry. Here's Marketplace's Mariel Segarra.
Nordstrom has a giant flagship store in Manhattan, a couple blocks from Central Park. And on the second floor, the company's running an experiment. It's selling used clothes. I mean, they're designer clothes. There's a white T-shirt that costs $91, a pair of pink satin Manolo Blahnik heels for $618, and baby clothes, too, like a pink and gold Versace romper for $154. This is where I meet Juliette Laura, who's 25 and has on a t-shirt that says, "Pick your own wildflowers." She bought almost everything she's wearing secondhand.
My shoes I got on Depop. Same with my corset t-shirt and trench are all from Depop. And then my bag is from The RealReal.
Depop and The RealReal are resale websites.
Yeah, I typically shop secondhand because it's more sustainable and more ethical.
She can buy a t-shirt without feeling guilty about how many gallons of water or fuel went into making it. In a recent survey by Raymond James, 15% of people who shop secondhand said they do it because it's environmentally friendly. 65% said they do it to save money. 33-year-old Dion Lehman lives in Newport News, Virginia. When we talked the other day, she was wearing a pink and blue plaid flannel shirt.
I'm about my lumberjack lifestyle.
The brand is American Eagle, but she got it at a local secondhand store.
Like, absolutely, I would never pay $40 for this shirt, but $6 and we can talk.
Lehman has been going to thrift stores since she was a kid, but she buys used clothing a lot more since she discovered resale websites like ThredUp. She remembers her first purchase.
Ordered a couple things. They came within 3 to 5 business days, and I was like, this is what's up, because I don't even have to leave my house, and I'm all about not leaving my house.
This could be one reason the resale market is growing. Because, yeah, thrift stores have been around for decades, but these websites brought the thrift store to your front door.
It's a lot easier. Like, you don't have to search, and you don't have to physically get ready to go through racks and racks of old things to find potentially a treasure.
Shopping secondhand can also allow people to buy designer clothes that are normally too expensive. Olivia Kim is an executive at Nordstrom.
You know, they want a brand affinity, they want a brand association, but they may not be able to afford the full price tag.
Other retailers have caught on to this too. Macy's, Madewell, and JCPenney, they're all selling used clothing now. I'm Marielle Segarra for Marketplace.
And in New York, I'm David Brancaccio. You're listening to the Marketplace Morning Report from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.